You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you ahead of what is one of the biggest weeks in the golfing calendar. We have the BMW PGA Championship, the premier event on the European Tour and the Dean and DeLucia Invitational at Colonial on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to Dave Tindall, who's sitting beside me. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
And to Mike Grenham, who's the other side of me.
Yeah, but I'm not beside Dave.
You're beside Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. It's good to have you both with us. First of all, before we get stuck into these events, a quick word on last week. Billy Horschel winning again on the PGA Tour in the Byron Nelson. That result came on the back of three missed cuts, and he was criticised for his volatile behaviour in the Players' Championship the week before as well, when he threw his club disrespectfully towards his caddy. But hearing about the demons that his wife has battled in the past year, put that into perspective, Dave.
Yeah, definitely so. That was something that came out of the blue, wasn't it? That wasn't known at all. So, well done to Billy Horschel. And hopefully she gets that sorted out. But you obviously been a fan of Billy Horschel down the years. I haven't been. So were you close at all? Well, obviously those missed cuts, but was it one of those waiting for the right price and you might have gone in?
Yeah, it was tough to assess where his game was, wasn't it, with those three missed cuts. But he is an incredible ball striker, and you only have to go back 3 years for his two back-to-back wins in those FedEx Cup playoffs. So it was only a matter of time, and we weren't privy to what was happening behind the scenes with Billy Horschel. But last week, Mike, he was probably a little bit difficult to back given that recent form.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, he looked like he was underperforming, but you can kind of see why now, can't you? That's clearly been troublesome over the last probably a couple of years at least. One would suspect. Very brave of his wife to speak out, and I wish them well. You know, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors sometimes. So, fair play to the Horschels.
And on the other tour, the European Tour, Alvaro Quiroz back with a win, which was again a little bit surprising.
Didn't see that one coming, I have to be honest.
And it's good to see him win again, because he's one of the undoubted characters on the on the European Tour.
Yeah, he hits it a mile, and he looked like he was going to be a really good player, but he's just gone off the ball terribly the last few years.
Yeah,
top 25, wasn't he, the last time he played a couple of weeks ago or whatever it was? But I didn't see this coming.
No, I mean, if you're really sort of trying to think, how did that happen? Well, he'd won in Qatar before, which is windy, and it did get really windy, didn't it? I mean, I remember at the Masters, he was first round leader once, the McIlroy.
Was he?
Threw it away, 2011. And at the time, he was winning all sorts, wasn't he? He won the end of season one in Dubai. He seemed like the world was his oyster, and it really went wrong for him. But yeah, really pleased to see him back.
Let's get stuck into
25-1 this week.
Yeah.
He hasn't short on that much, has he?
He's not 125-1. It is the big event on the European Tour this week, the BMW PGA Championship. And this event has been hosted by Wentworth Club since 1984. And we've had a high-class stalwarts from the tour take the title down the years. Colin Montgomery won the event three times in succession from 1998 to 2000. Luke Donald won back-to-back in 2011 and 2012. And more recently, Rory McIlroy, who is a high-profile absentee this year, won the event in 2014. And that leaves the top of the betting with Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose at 12-1 joint favourites here with William Hill. Francesco Molinari and Tyrrell Hatton both 18-1. Alex Noren is 20s. Bernd Wiesberger, 22s. Benny Ahn is 22s as well. Martin Keimer and Thomas Peters, both 25s. And it's a 28-1 and bigger the rest. And historically, the West course at Wentworth was one that valued experience, Mike. But that's changed a little bit since those much maligned changes in 2008. They're still making modifications to the golf course to rectify what went on with that first renovation. And Chris Wood won last year, but Rickard Kahlberg was making his debut. He finished second. And the year prior to that, Benny Arn won as a first-time outer in the tournament.
I do like course experience there, though, Dave, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's just to put it into perspective slightly, it might be changing a little bit.
Could be. I mean, down the years, course experience has been quite a lot of players who have played there consistently well and what have you. So I would still favour that. But it is a little bit of a puzzle this week, I think, because the greens are obviously all been renovated, haven't they? And they're going to play faster, I would think. So that changes the dynamic there quite a bit. I really enjoy Wentworth, but it's a puzzle. So I haven't got a bet pre-tournament. I'm going to see how it plays. And yeah, I love the tournament, so I will definitely be getting involved. But I might just keep my powder dry.
Okay. There are significant changes, as Mike mentioned. 29 bunkers have been removed. All 18 of those greens have been replaced. And listening to some of the more experienced pros that are in attendance this week, they think the changes have been good and the greens will run quicker this week and scoring might be lower than it was last year. Chris Wood won with a total of 9 under par last year, Dave.
Yeah, all you said there. I think they love good greens anywhere, don't they? And obviously in Britain it's going to be hard to get because you never know what weather's been led up to that. But they've got one of these sub-air systems in place, which helps kind of put some science into it and make them, you know, you can sort of play God a bit with them. So, yeah, I think everyone's happy there. Chris Wood first had a look in May as a defending champion, went had a look in early May, said these are going to be great, and then everything you hear since then.
As a defending champion, though, going to a PR day, can you imagine?
That's a fair point.
What are
his
options? A, to say that he's going to be great, or B?
Well,
it was quite
specific on why it was better, so...
I must get
I know what you mean.
I've got a couple of picks for the event, Dave.
Two, yes.
Okay, you lead us off then, Dave.
Well, Chris Wood.
Okay, you're going with the defending champion, 33-1.
No wonder he thought it was important.
Yeah.
I've got to fit it into mine.
Yeah.
Well, you touched on it earlier, Dave. Monty won 3 times there. Luke Donald won back-to-back there. So why not Chris Wood? We've had 5... English winners in the last 8 years, so it is a really good home event for the English. They do tend to dominate there. You saw Simon Kahn win there, obviously Luke Donnelly. Westwood, I think, lost a playoff, didn't he, to Luke Donald that year when whoever won went to world number one. So the English do have a great record.
He threw it
away
that year, didn't he, Westwood? I remember that pretty
Lee
well.
Lee Westwood going to world number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the days.
In the playoff, didn't I think he hit his third and it sort of sucked back into the water.
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, so Chris Wood... I like his price. He's 33-1 here at Hills. Just plays really well on this course, always has done. And he's seen various kind of guises of it as it's changed down the years. On his very first appearance at Wentworth, he was 6th, but that doesn't tell a story because he was leading going into the final round, shot 77. It probably got on top of him a little bit. But it always planted the seed that one day he might go there and win. Took him a few more goes after that, but then he built it 21st. 2014, was 4th in 2015, and then he got it done last year. Really, really good. Always seems to play well in England. You look back at that form combined with his British Masters form and Open Championship form, put them together, and he's actually had 6 top 25s in his last 6 appearances on English soil. Mm. That includes a 1st, a 4th and a 9th. As for latest form, he had a little bit of time off, didn't he, for a while, but then he went to China for the China Open and was 4th there, so that was a good performance. And just that idea that people, I know it's changed, and I'm guessing a little bit with that, but I think if you like Wentworth, you tend to keep liking Wentworth, however much they sort of play around with it.
I mean, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, it's still tree-lined, it's still, you know, all the things around it. He's still getting a lot of the same deal that he used to get.
Yeah.
And I thought 33-1 was a fair price, to be honest.
Very good. Chris Wood to go back-to-back at Wentworth, 33-1, Dave's first pick. I'm going with Alex Noren at 20-1 as my main pick here. His form in the US reads very well in the context of this event, and there's little doubt in the last 12 months he has elevated his game. And I think to finish 10th on his first start in the Players at Sawgrass, have a winning chance going into Sunday at the Wells Fargo and play well in a Dell match playing. Bigger events than this one now, really, in terms of the quality of the players that are on show. I mean, that event at the Players has all the best players in the world there.
Yeah, that one does.
Yeah.
Is the World Match Play a bigger event than this? I don't know.
I think in terms of quality of
there's
player,
a good feel, yeah. But it's slightly different, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm taking nothing away from this event, but you look...
It's
you
a flagship
look at the,
of the European Tour,
it, David. It is. It is, but is the quality there when you compare it to events?
If McIlroy was here, you'd say it was a very good feel. Without him, it just lacks a little bit of...
Stardust.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and his event form, admittedly, is a little bit patchy, but there have been glimpses from Norrin at Wentworth. Finished in a tie for 6th in 2008, tie for 8th in 2015 as well. Changes to the course should suit him. Good putter, Norrin. And he led the field in tee to green play at Sawgrass, which I think is spectacular on his tournament debut, in all honesty. And if he brings that ball striking to Wentworth in a weaker field, I think he'll contend. So 20-1, I like Alex Norrin as my main pick.
I haven't got any. What's your second, Dave?
Back to me. I'm sticking with this English theme. I'm going for Ross Fisher at 40-1.
Okay.
He is one of these who was kind of a young prodigy, and I think he got like a scholarship to play at Wentworth when he was little. So he's played there, you know, since he was a wee nipper. And you always read these stories where, oh, I used to go there with my dad and take sandwiches. Justin Rose always sort of trots that one out, and other players say they used to go there as a kid, and it really does frame it how important this event is. If you go through the list of English winners, they're often kind of southern based.
Yes.
Even someone like Simon Kahn, it just is really, 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 you know, there's so many things. It's like the fifth Beatle. I mean, what is the fifth major? It's overplayed, but it's just very important to them. So Ross Fisher played loads of...
We've gone from it not being one of the best events out of about 10 of the last 3 weeks to being the fifth major. Make your minds up, you
think. I think it's lacking quality. I understand that the...
Yeah, but who cares what we think? It's what they
it's
think.
What they
yeah,
know.
That's what they think, yeah.
But lots
yeah.
of people care what we think.
I don't know.
Delusion.
So Ross Fisher... He actually hasn't played as well as you might think, but he was runner-up in 2009, tied 10th 2010. He's just gone off the boil a little bit. So I'm hoping, I want both sides of the argument here, but I'm hoping the better conditions will suit him, because I think he's got used to maybe more luxurious conditions in America, and I think he might really flourish on these better greens.
Okay.
Lots and lots of good form of late. Ross Fisher, we've seen him show up. Third in the WGC Mexico, then he went to the World Match Play, got to the quarterfinals, which rubber stamped his place in the Masters. Then he went to China, third in the Shenzhen, sixth in the China Open. Didn't make the cut at the Players' Championship, but then so many others didn't. But basically, you look at his form, four top sixes in his last six events. You add his background at Wentworth as well. I think he's due for a really big week. Ross Fish has played a lot of good golf. And okay, you do... If you're really looking at his Wentworth form, you can see three missed cuts there in the last 3 years. But it's one of those ones that doesn't, even though it's there in print, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I still think he can go there and have a massive week, as his runners-up finish shows there back in 2009. Okay, it was a bit back, but I think that was the 2009 season,
wasn't it? I think.
And I think 2009, something ridiculous. Didn't he win the Majors Cup, Ross Fisher?
I thought that was 2008, but it might have been 2009.
He had the best combined finishes in the four majors, which is some going, isn't it, seeing as who he's up against. So, you know, could he be back to that form? If he is back to that sort of form, and recent results suggest he's getting there, I think 40-1 could look big.
I've gone with Scott Hend as my second pick here at a big price, 125-1 Scott Hend. I still think he's slightly underrated, and he had things under control in this championship last year. Before Sunday, unfortunately, he actually went into round four, three shots ahead of Chris Wood and leading the championship, but fired a final round of 78, which sent him crashing down the leaderboard. He eventually tied for 15th, but he talked about still not having his game under control going into that final round, so it will be interesting to see if he's learned from that experience. And he didn't have much recent form coming into the championship, but... He did find his swing in Thailand recently to finish sixth there in, admittedly, a very, very weak event. It's a golf course that he can overpower when his game is on song, so I'm just going to take a small chance with Scott Hend as my second pick at 125-1. Mike?
I've got a few to mention.
Yes.
Benny Arn obviously played very well in America last week. And won here, as you said previously, but 22-1, bit of travelling, all of that. Much as I like him, I think that's a bit short. Thomas Peters hasn't played very well here yet, but he's 25-1. He could be the best player in the field, couldn't he, theoretically, you know, in the years to come.
Yes.
So he's interesting, but I'd like to see him play well here and, you know, have a round or two before I got involved in him. Then away from that, probably Shane Lowry's drifting out to an interesting price. A lot of the players I fancy this week in the two events have been cut, but Lowry's 50-1. He's a very good record here, and he's showing some sneaky form. He did miss the cut at Sawgrass, as quite a few decent players did, but he played quite well at Pebble, reasonable at Wells Fargo, and in Phoenix. So he's another one to watch.
He's ready to bounce back, isn't he? Because obviously that US Open was so disappointing that Sunday. It's taken him a while to regather his composure, hasn't it, to a certain extent? Yeah.
But he loves it here, doesn't he?
Yeah, if you look at his record in all events in GB and Ireland, it's brilliant. He seems to be up there all the time. He said how much he loves playing in front of British crowds because they're quite sort of up for it, aren't they? British sporting fans do turn out in numbers, don't they? And he really likes that.
He's got he missed the cut here last year, but before that, 12th, 2nd and 6th in 3 years. Yeah. So it shows that he does play well. So he's interesting. Who else? Haotong Lee, or Lee Haotong, I never know which way around it's meant to be, but he's interesting. He's in cracking form at 50-1. I'd give him a reel. He could go well. And possibly Mr. Zanotti.
We
were talking about him before. Yeah. Well, before you came into the studio, we were mentioning Fabrizio Zanotti.
Yeah,
wouldn't be at all surprised to see me. He's 66-1. I won't put anyone off a top 10 bet on him. He might not win, but I could see him getting placed.
Yeah, a couple I just want to quickly mention as well. Luke Donald, who obviously is the ultimate horses for courses player. I can see him bouncing back. I think 50-1's fair on Donald, actually.
Because if you look recently, the only other course he's gone to where he's been brilliant at was Hilton Head, and he went there and was second.
Played well there, didn't he?
Yeah. So he's that type.
And I thought you might have mentioned Joost Luiten as well. He's drifted out to 50-1 for this. He brings that current blend of half-decent recent form in, along with pretty good course form as well. It looks like it should be a place that suits. So he was interesting at 50-1, I thought.
Yeah, he was shorter than that, wasn't he, in a lot of events in the European Tour last year or two. So I've slightly gone off him at the moment. I want to see a little bit of sparkle from him.
What about the front of the market then? Because I'm not so keen on Stenson Rose. I think he's got a massive chance. He loves going there. He's always been close to winning there. I think
do you think he'd want the greens to be worse? Do you think the improvements of the greens, do you think that's a good thing? Because that, in theory, would give your better putters a chance of hauling more.
Yeah, but he puts
it
well on good greens like Augusta, and he's won Memorial on faster greens, hasn't he? I think that helps him.
I think it suits him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Molinari has played well here lots of times before. Tyrrell Hatton's an interesting one. I think he was seventh last year. If he found the form he showed in Florida, he's another kind of southern-based Brit Englishman, isn't he? So it fits into that.
The only thing with him, though, is that 18-1
is
quite short.
With us.
He may have slightly gone off the boil. I don't think he has, by the way, but you're taking a bit of a chance at 18, aren't you? I think Norrin will go well of the market leaders. I have to kind of concur with Dave there. Mm.
Okay, let's move on to the Dean and DeLucia Invitational, which is staged over stateside, and we've got John Rahm at 10-1 here with William Hill heading the betting. Jordan Spieth is 12-1. Sergio Garcia is 14s. Bud Cawley, Jason Duffner, Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar and Paul Casey, all 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. A classic old track, Colonial, and it's once again the host venue for the Dean and DeLucia Invitational. And Jordan Spieth is the defending champion, and he might only be 23 years old, Mike, but his win came in his fourth appearance at the event, and Colonial, which has been a mainstay on the schedule since 1946, is historically a venue that in which experience comes to the fore generally.
Yeah, it's tends to be quite... The average age of the winners is very high here, isn't it? Course experience, lots of visits. Experienced pros who've been around the block a bit is what tended to be the order of the day here. Whether that's changing again, I don't know. But, yeah, it's certainly when you look at some of the winners, the age is fairly high, you know. So I do like course experience here, I have to say.
It's a par 70 measuring 7,209 yards, Dave, and most definitely a second-shot golf course. Hitting the small greens is difficult, so that puts a premium on scrambling. And the wind is forecast to be a significant factor throughout the week as well. When Colonial hits the schedule, it's always good fun, isn't it? Because you know that those old-style shot makers have a chance. And even though you're going to have to shoot low and make plenty of birdies here, it really is a technical golf course.
Yeah, lots of doglegs. So you can't really, I mean, some players have a go, but a lot of times players are clubbing down, playing to the corners, and then it's who's best from there on in. So, yeah, I do like course experience, I have to say. And I think the guy I've picked is past his 40th birthday.
Is he really? Yes. Okay. I've got one pick for the event.
Yeah, me too.
I've no picks. I fancy about 20, so I'll mention a few of those. But I couldn't. The prices of the ones I really fancy were a bit short.
I'm going for a market leader this week. Going Jordan Spieth. At 12-1, and I'm going to go 2 points each way.
So you'll have to argue away his miscuts
of
late.
On Jordan Spieth, yeah, you have to. But I think that's more than built into the price. I think in my mind, Spieth's downturn in form has been vastly overplayed. I mean, everyone's pinpointing the fact that he's changed his putter, and it's obviously Spieth's felt the need to change. He's the sort of character that's got a deep understanding of his golf game, and if he thinks he needs to change the putter, then so be it. And I know he has missed two cuts. His tie for 11th at the Masters was followed by that miscut at the Players at Sawgrass, where he's now missed three straight cuts at Sawgrass, and a below par performance at the Byron Nelson, where a second round 75 saw him miss successive cuts.
But he had a nine, didn't he? Then?
Nine, yeah.
I saw that, where he was just whacking out of bounds. It was at least twice. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He'd have made a cut if it wasn't.
Yeah,
that
he would have made the cut.
But that was slightly worrying, though, that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, it's slightly concerning. But I think if he doesn't, I know ifs and buts, but if he doesn't make that nine, goes through to the weekend, finishes maybe 15th, top 15 at the Byron Nelson, I think he's 7-1 favourite to win this event. Coming into this on the back of his form at Colonial in recent years. And he's subsequently done some work at home with his swing coach, Cameron McCormick, which reportedly went very well, although, as Mike mentioned earlier, they would say that. He's not going to say it's gone badly.
Never say he's struggling, do they?
But in his four appearances at Colonial, 7th on debut, 14th the following year, 2nd 2 years ago, and won it by 3 last year without anything like his best golf game last year. Which maybe he's coming into this in a similar situation this year, not having his absolute best. But it's a golf course that plays to all his strengths. He's second in birdie average on tour, third in greens in regulation, still fifth in scoring average as well. And I think 12-1 is much too big a price for a player of his ability at a golf course which he loves. Just on the back of two miscuts. In Texas as well. I think he's going to go. And he can handle the wind perfectly. 6 places on offer. I'm going 2 points each way at 12-1 on
bullish,
Jordan
bullish,
Spieth.
Bullish.
Yeah. I'm pretty bullish about this one, yeah.
Yep.
Who are you going with, Dave?
Yeah, so my 40-something is Pat Perez.
Yes.
40-1, loads and loads of good
got
form.
Got bromance with him, hasn't
he? I've got him down, actually, as my second...
pick?
No, he's not suggestion. A pick. Not a pick, second suggestion, yeah.
We share the same birthday.
You and Pat Perez?
Yeah. It's David's day, so why is he called Pat? Doesn't make sense. Yeah, he's got 4 top tens at Colonial. 5th the last time he played it. Shot a 64 in the final round. Then he had a 4th, a 6th and a 10th in the little run a few years ago. Lots and lots of good form in Texas, so clearly it's not just this course, it's Texas as a whole. He plays well in the wind. Pat Perez can shape his shots. Good scrambler, which is why... he does well at this course. And I was amazed by this. Do you know where he is in the FedEx Cup rankings?
5th, is he?
He's ahead of so many other people.
It is unbelievable. He has had a tremendous season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got, a first, a second, a third, and a fourth. So he's got the win. He's been getting each-way payouts as well. So I think sometimes there's like an element that doesn't quite work, but he's got the course form, the current form. He was second at Wells Fargo just 2 starts ago. 22nd at Sawgrass was a really good effort as well. I shot a third round 66, which is his best ever lap of Sawgrass. So good course form, good current form, likes the wind. what's not to like?
Yeah, I liked him.
40-1.
I liked him. Sneaky good record here, hasn't he? With those four top 10 finishes in his last eight starts at Fort Worth as well. So, yeah, I liked him. 40. He was actually the only other one I wanted to mention, yeah. Pat Perez.
With
so
him
I'm
as
glad
well.
You've gone with him.
Yeah, people who started watching golf quite a number of years ago will remember when he went mental on the 18th tee at Pebble Beach when he was one shot ahead. And he drove out. Did he drive in the water out of bounds? But he just started slamming his club into the ground, and he kind of got cast as like he's a hothead. So do you ever trust him? But he's played a lot of good golf. He has settled down a lot. He's suffered from injury, and I read some quotes recently where he said he got written off. I think it was Callaway that his manufacturer dropped him, thinking, oh, he's maybe knocking on a bit as all these younger guys coming through. And because of that side of his personality, quite a fiery side, that's kind of the worst stroke, best
catalyst
thing he could have ever done to him, because he's going to, right, I'll show you. And ever since, he's been great. So, yeah, fifth in the FedEx Cup standings shows he's a seriously talented player.
40-1, Pat Perez for Dave. Mike?
I have no bets, but there was a whole host of players I could mention, so I can try and keep it to the main few. Kevin Kisner was as high on my list. He's been playing ever so well, and there's players well here. And but he's 25-1. He was 33's early doors.
Yeah,
so that chopped that one off. I looked at Paul Casey. He was interesting, but again, 25's in an American event where he never wins in America. Yeah, can leave it. So a lot of these were prize players that just put me off. Chris Kirk, I thought, showed something last time out and has won here. But 40's no. Brant Snedeker would appeal more. He might be the nearest at the moment. Brant Snedeker was second here a couple of years ago and has been in patchy form, but he's a decent player. Mm. And there's a whole list of guys that I could mention. I think Siwoo Kim arguably looks reasonably big at that price. Ditto Danny Lee, 50-1 should I say, sorry, after his famous win. Danny Lee's interesting in Texas as well at 50s.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, it's an event, as with the other event, I'll definitely betting in play. I could easily have backed 10.
Here's a question. I've gone relatively big on Jordan Spieth this week. Out of those three market leaders, if you had to back one, Rahm, Spieth or Garcia, which one would it be?
That's a good question. Sergio's playing so well this year, isn't he? And he's showing up everywhere. Won here in 2001. Hasn't played here for a number of years, so I'd probably have to say John Rahm. Dave?
I don't particularly like any of them, but Spieth would be the one. I think Sergio, if you look at his rounds, I said this last week, I reckon he might just go brilliant round, duff round, and just oscillate between the two, and he did exactly that, didn't he, last week?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
What you have to say about Sergio, though, Dave, sorry to interrupt, but what you have to say about him is that he's greens and reg, and he's tee to green stuff is excellent. He's really striking the ball well at the moment, isn't he? And yeah, I think he'll start. I think he'll have a very good year, Sergio. I don't think he'll be just the one win.
Do you think he'll get another major?
I don't think it's impossible.
No. Okay.
Do you remember, this is thinking way ahead, but when Mark O'Meara won the Masters after a long, long break, then he won and won at Birkdale,
didn't he?
Which is where the Open is.
You get it a bit, don't you? Harrington had won a few in a bit of a batch, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it just happened.
Rahm here, by the way, it's his first go, obviously, as it is every week.
That's a very good call.
But he did shoot 82 at Sawgrass, so I just thought...
It's a funny day, that, though, Dave, wasn't it? It was a funny... Yeah. Yeah, they were all shooting fairly high, but that's a very good point you make, because I don't think a first time, other than the first time, has won here, have they?
I think Garcia's the last one to do it, actually.
Is he a first timer?
I think he won here first time in 2001.
And that was his first appearance?
I think that was his first appearance. Don't quote me on that.
I'm sure you're right, but it's certainly not a first time as...
No.
You know, it's up there with Augusta as being quite rare for first timers to win, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. It's going to be a bit breezy, isn't it? That's going to be interesting, I think, as well. I think course experience and, guys who can deal with the wind.
Wind plays a factor at both events as well, doesn't it? Because we didn't mention it much with Wentworth, but
absolutely.
It does swirl.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why course experience has
similar
been,
criteria for me for both. You know, second shot tracks, probably, you would say both, probably. Knowledge of the track, and it could be windy at both as well.
Just back to Spieth, I'm sure I read a stat that I think he's now missed more cuts than Tiger did in about the first 15 years of his career.
That
which is more sort of how amazing
that's more
Tiger
telling.
Was.
Yeah, that's more telling about how good Tiger was.
I don't know. Did, You know, you say, well, if he hadn't had a nine, why is he making nine? Because he had some massive numbers at Augusta. Is he not quite thinking what's going on there?
That's why I picked Rahm rather than him. I just watched that hole. I think, what is he doing here? But equally, I can totally understand Dave saying, take that out of the equation and he'll, of course, he loves, he could. But it is a little worry, even for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. That's why he's 12-1, isn't it? Because if he came into this with good form, he'd be hot favourite this week to win this championship.
I suppose it's, would you rather back a red hot Jordan Spieth at 8s or a one where you're giving him the benefits at 12s?
That's true. I don't think if he was red hot, he wouldn't be 8-1 in this field either. I think even if he'd finished top 20 last week at the Byron Nelson, he'd be an 8-1 shot. So not even coming into a red hot form. So we'll see.
Just to mention a couple about, well, 50-1's not an outsider, is it? Sung Hoon Kahn. I like the shape of him.
I played him up last week. I think he's good in Texas.
He's good. He is.
Didn't do much wrong last week. No.
20. Yeah. And a couple of big outsiders. Chris Stroud always plays well here. Maybe one for the top 10 betting at some ludicrously big price.
Yeah, he's a massive either. Look at him.
Yeah.
I think he was like
200, is he? I think when I looked, I might be wrong.
Top 10, was he? Is he 20s for top 10?
Brian Gay was up there.
Yeah, it's 200-1 Stroud to win the tournament outright, and in the top 10 finish market, he is in the betting at 16-1.
That's not unappealing. Not unappealing. His top 10 record there. You know, he's not. I don't think he's ever won on tour. I might be wrong there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he's kind of missed out on the top 10s for three of the last 4 years. He's gone 13-7, 14, missed cut 13, but he's banging on the door, isn't he? You know, so he's interesting. Brian Gay was into, but he's into hundreds, and that doesn't make him, he was much bigger than that earlier in the week. So, but he's showing a bit of form as well.
Let's wrap up then with the selections this week, Dave.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a point each way on all three of mine. So at Wentworth, it's a point each way. Chris Wood at 33s, and the same bet on Ross Fisher at 40s.
Yeah.
And then in Colonial, I will call it Colonial.
Yes.
Who are Dean and what do they do?
Delicatessens,
yeah, they are. Yeah, I think we had this discussion last year's podcast. Yeah.
Okay, so at Colonial, then I will go for Pat Perez, point each way at 40s.
I'm going point each way, Alex Noren, 20-1 in the BMW PGA Championship, and half a point each way, Scott Hend at 125-1, and 2 points each way, Jordan Spieth at 12-1 in the Dean and DeLucia. Mike,
I'll definitely be using Twitter as my platform for some huge bets at the weekend. Because not alone am I going to be betting on, this is partly why I've kept my powder dry, because I will be looking to have a bet in both those events, and it's also the Senior PGA Championship for the elderly gentlemen, which is another great field. They can fast the majors on the Champions Tour once they get going.
Where's this one at?
They want to get it all out of the way in like 6 weeks.
They do get it done. Yeah. I, do you know what, Dave? I haven't even looked at the tournament. It's a new track this year, so there's no course form.
But you'll be putting up a bet,
I'll be looking at it, let's put it that way, which I haven't done yet, in truth. I won't be betting Vijay Singh at 16-1, I can tell you that, because I can put better than him. But on Twitter, I'll be firm. If and when, I'll be putting up some bets.
If I had Mark Sang's a new, one, new name to the seniors tour, isn't
he? He is. Yeah, he did. Well, he's, I think he's played a few times. But,
has he? That's weird. 7-2 Bernhard Langer is the favourite for the Senior PGA Championship.
You like the look of that? Do you know, I have a theory in me, Bernhard Langer always disproves this, but four rounds is a little bit harder than three, so the older they get, the harder it gets.
Yeah.
Langer's an exception, but Mark Sang's up for 51, so...
Yeah. Just interesting to see him in the betting there. I didn't realise he was that old either at all. So Langer was sensational, though, wasn't he, last week?
Yeah, well, I backed McCarron, who was second, and they were level going into the final round. McCarron shot a nice 3 or 4 under. It's been 3 under, actually. But Langer shot 64, which was a bit frustrating. But he's very good.
Keep your eye on Twitter then, folks. It's at MGren and Mike's Twitter handle. You can follow myself and Dave as well, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf.
Do you have a tweet, Bex? You too.
We tend to put them up on the podcast, actually.
Or if you tune into In Play Radio on a Sunday, then I will put
there
up.
That's where you do yours, isn't it?
My pre-round four best bet.
Dave's Twitter bets are a myth.
They are a myth. I can't remember the last one that went up there. I'm sure there'll be some at some point.
I will be
future.
Having a look, because I like these tournaments ago. I just had too many to pick from in London.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. And you've been doing well in play, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so it's all good.
With Siwoo Kim. Yeah. It was Seaward King, wasn't it? Seaward Chemical in the Players'
as well.
Championship.
It's going all right.
Yep. If you want to follow us all on Twitter, please do. I've just mentioned those Twitter handles. Do get your bets on as well for the BMW PGA Championship, the Dean and DeLucia Invitational, and the Senior PGA Championship as well. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Remember, you can download it from the usual podcast places on iTunes and at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. Enjoy your golf betting here with William Hill, and we'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.